where sin and sense molest no more. That sound good to you? Oh, my. And you know, this place, this little place the Lord's given us, haven of rest, little city of refuge where Christ comes and the Spirit of God comes, and this is about as close, this is about the only time where sin and sense don't molest us like they normally do. It's a good place to be. Although, you know, we still struggle, but if the Lord blesses, man, we can get such help and comfort here and peace and from the gospel. Chapter 8 of John, John 8. This, you know, men made these chapter divisions and men erred. They erred. It shouldn't be a chapter division right here, because it begins in verse 53 of chapter 7. Look at this. Every man went unto his own house. Jesus went unto the Mount of Olives. Oh, my. The Son of Man, he said, I hath not where to lay his head. But did he rest? Did he have a place to sleep? We have nice places to sleep, don't we? We have very nice homes to live in. We all do. Do we always rest peacefully? Do we always sleep all night long? Why? Sin. Troubles, worry, unbelief, worry, doubts, fears, troubles, all this stuff keeps us from resting. You can count on it. Our Lord, when he went to sleep, he slept. No worries, no fears, no doubts, no sin, nothing woke him up. He in that boat, ship, they all thought they were going to die. He's just resting. He had no place to lay his head, or did he? Now, yes, he did. He laid on the bosom of the Father. So many things disturb our peace and rest. Oh, my. I wish we could, one of the men said that, wouldn't it be a blessing to truly trust the Lord, to truly believe the Lord? Wouldn't that be a blessing? Just go to sleep. He that keepeth Israel doesn't sleep, go to sleep. Don't worry about it. There's nothing you can do about it. Just go to sleep. He gaveth his beloved sleep. And surely that's Christ, isn't it? Well, early in the morning, verse 2, he came. In the early in the morning, he came to his temple. Our Lord lived by faith. Our Lord walked by faith. Faith means believing God. Faith means taking him at his word. Faith means doing what he said. Our Lord did what the word said. And he did. Throughout the scriptures, it's written of him. In Proverbs 8, he is wisdom. He says, those that seek me early shall find me. That's what he said. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. That, say that. David said in Psalm 63, O God, thou art my God, early will I seek thee. So our Lord, the man, woke up early. He is God whom we seek, but he's the God-man who woke up early like he tells us to do. Didn't he? He got up early. What's he doing? Seeking the kingdom of God. Seeking the Lord. That is, came to do his will and his work. Oh, I want to do that. Be better for us, wouldn't it? Well, he came into his temple. Oh, this is the Lord who shall, Malachi says, shall come to his temple. This is his temple. You will always find him in his temple. His church, that's where you'll find him. You want to come to Christ, you want to find Christ, you know where you'll find him? Where his people are meeting, two or three together. And he's promised. Psalm 46 says, God's in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early. We come in here in the morning, Sunday morning. I wish we could have services on Monday morning. I got to go out in that world. So we come in here Sunday morning, first day of the week, seek Him first, seek the kingdom of God, seek our Lord in the morning. That, you know, the morning is when the sun rises. The morning when it's a bright morning star is seen. Well, it says in verse 2, the people, all the people came unto Him. You know what He's going to do if you come to Him? If you come where He's promised to be, you know what He's going to do? He's going to be there. And you know what He'll do if you come to Him? He'll teach you. He'll speak to you. He sat down and He taught them. I need teaching. Don't you? Turn with me to Psalm 25. Don't you love Psalm 25? Those that know it. It's my favorite psalm. Psalm 25. Don't you love it? I need taught. They came, Lord, teach us. Teach us. David says this over and over in Psalm 25, verse 1. Do you have it? Unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. O my God, I trust in thee. Let me not be ashamed. Let not mine enemies triumph over me. Hey, let none that wait on thee be ashamed. Let them be ashamed which transgress without cause. Show me thy ways. David's going to talk about his ways and his way. That's what we were talking about. Christ the way? Well, I want to know His ways and walk in. Show me thy ways, O Lord. Teach me thy paths. Lead me in thy truth. Teach me. Thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all day. Verse 7, remember not the sins of my youth or my transgressions according to thy mercy, O Lord. Verse 8, good and upright is the Lord, therefore will He teach sinners in the way. You see that? The meek, verse 9, will He guide in judgment. The meek will He teach His way. Oh, we could just keep reading, couldn't we? Verse 12, what man is he that feareth the Lord? Him shall He teach in the way that he shall choose. And his soul shall dwell at ease. The secret of the Lord with them that fear Him. So they came to our Lord. He sat down and He taught them. What did He teach them? God. The ways of God. Who God is. And He taught them that He is the way. He said, I am the way. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. This is the way. Walk in. I am the way. Seek me. Walk in me. So He came. Came to His temple. He talked. He thought, I need teaching. Verse 3, here come the scribes and the Pharisees. They're everywhere. There's not a chapter in this book, hardly, that you won't, in the Gospel of John, you won't find scribes and Pharisees. They were everywhere. Then and now, our Lord said, beware of the scribes and Pharisees. Beware. Beware. Scribes and Pharisees. He always referred to them as scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites. He always gave that hypocrite. What's that mean? Playing a part. Brother Donnie preached on. He said, don't play a part. Don't put on airs. God knows everything about you. Don't try to act anything. Come open. To Him and each other. Beware of scribes and Pharisees, our Lord said. They're actors. They're playing a part. They have a facade of religion. They have a facade of goodness. A facade of righteousness. Our Lord said, within they're full of iniquity. Full of excess. Scribes and Pharisees heard our Lord. They listened to Him. They heard Him. Did they like what He said? No, they didn't. And the reason they came was to catch Him at His word. To find fault. And these scribes and these Pharisees brought with them someone. Verse 3, they brought a woman taken in adultery. These scribes and Pharisees were looking for sinners. They were looking for sinners, but not for their salvation, but to condemn them. To judge them, to execute them. You know, I've heard preachers that preach grace. I've heard them preach in such a way that they almost seemed like they relished men going to hell. Our Lord one time, his disciples, so this is what I'm trying to say. Beware that we not be not like the scribes and Pharisees. We want people to be saved, don't we? We really do. But the disciples one time wanted to call down fire. And our Lord, man, I bet he looked at them hard. He said, you don't know what manner of spirit you're doing. He said, I didn't come to destroy him. I came to save him. So here's a point we need to keep in mind here. These scribes and Pharisees, they weren't sinners saved by God's grace. They were self-righteous Pharisees, and they wanted to see sinners condemned. They wanted to see sinners judged and punished. And they delighted in seeing somebody get caught in the act. It made them look better. But where was the fella that she committed adultery with? How did they catch her in the act? Huh? Where was he? Is he one of them? Are they covering up for him? You reckon? Caught in the act. How did it happen? Were they watching, spying, waiting on her to sin? That's what they do. They're watching you. They're watching to see what you're going to do. You know, if you wait and you watch long enough, you'll see every one of God's people. You'll hear them. You'll hear them. You'll see them. If you could see in private what they do and what they think, they're going to sin. And I'm talking about you. I'm talking about me. Right? Who would want their thoughts just today put up on a screen here for everybody to see? Anybody? Mm-hmm. I tell you, who does behold all things? Who does hear all things? Our God does. Oh, he's so merciful. I said. Well, they said in verse 4, Master, they brought her and set her in the midst. They said unto him, Master, teacher. They don't call him Lord. They call him teacher, rabbi. This woman was taken in adultery, the very act, caught in the act. Go with me to Matthew 5. Matthew 5. Can you be condemned for your thoughts? Man can't, but God does. God does. He does. His eyes behold, his eyelids try, the sons of men. And what he finds, what he sees, is all are what? Guilty. Matthew 5, and this is what it means by our Lord magnifying the law. He shall magnify the law. That means he expands it to show, he blows it up clearly for you to see clearly what the law says. And all whatever the law saith, Romans 3, it says to them that are under the law, and what does it say? One word. Guilty. Now here's what our Lord said, Matthew 5:17. Look at it. He said, think not that I'm come to destroy the law. Mm-mm. Or the prophet. I'm not come to destroy. Our Lord lived according to the law. The law's good. The law's holy. The law's just. He lived according to the law. Didn't it? Nothing wrong with the law. But he said, I came to fulfill it. He said to John one time, it behooves us to fulfill all righteousness. Well, John couldn't do it, but Christ did. And he did it for him. Because John was in him, he said, you've done it. Isn't that good news? What Christ did for us, we did in the eyes of God. He said, till heaven and earth pass away, not one jot or tittle of the law will pass from the law till all be fulfilled. By who? Christ. Verse 19, whosoever shall break one of these least commandments and teach men so, he's least in the kingdom of God, heaven. Whosoever shall do and teach them, our Lord did. He's great in the kingdom of God. Your righteousness better exceed the righteousness of the Pharisees, described the Pharisees said. And they seemed righteous on the outside. Everybody thought they were. Our Lord, He looked on the heart. And now here He blows it up, verse 21. You've heard it said by them of old time, thou shalt not kill. Whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment. I say, whoever's angry with his brother without a cause is in danger of the judgment. That the only reason you didn't kill that person is you didn't have a gun on you at the time. Or God kept you from it. That's the only reason. Right? That's what he said. All right, look down at verse 27. You've heard it been said to them of old time, thou shalt not commit adultery. I say unto you, whosoever looketh on a woman, or if it's a woman looking on a man, to lust after her, is guilty. Hath committed. In her heart. In the heart. That's what he said. Anybody guilty? Everybody's guilty. Everybody guilty. See, his eyes behold. Our Lord said, we're guilty as charged. And God. And so he goes on down to say, look at verse 25. You better agree with your adversary quickly while you're in the way with him. He's going to deliver you to the judge. What does that mean? You know what God says? Guilty. You know what you better do? Agree with Him. That's right. What should you do? Put a rope around your neck. There was some, you know that story. Go ahead. There were some kings of Israel. Israel destroyed all the nation. There were some heathen kings that getting ready to be destroyed. And they said, let's put ropes around our neck. I hear the kings of Israel are merciful men. Let's go pleading for mercy. So they put ropes around their neck and came up. You can hang us or you can save us. That's what it means to agree with God. To justify God in condemning yourself. You know, if we judge ourselves, we won't be judged. If we condemn ourselves, we won't be condemned. If we condemn others, if we don't forgive others, our Lord said, we won't be forgiven. Isn't that what He said? That's what he said. Now go back to our text. And our Lord brought up adultery. He didn't bring the whole law up, but he did bring that up. And here's a story of a woman caught in adultery. Adultery is a bad thing. It's horrible. It's horrible. 1 Corinthians 6 says this, and so does Galatians and Ephesians. And you know these things. It says, know ye not, the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Be not deceived. Fornicators, idolaters, adulterers, effeminate, abusers of themselves with mankind, thieves, covetous, drunkards, revilers, extortioners, they won't inherit the kingdom of God. Is that what it said? Over and over again. He says, don't let anybody deceive you with vain words. Because of these things come the wrath of God on the children of disobedience. Don't let any man tell you that it's okay. It is not. That you continue in these things, you're going to be judged for it. Right? Am I preaching God's truth? I sure am. Because it's a bad thing. It's a horrible thing. You know, lust is bad enough, isn't it? Fulfilling it is worse. Temptation is not sin. We're all tempted by sin. Falling into it and giving up into it is worse. The consequences are so much worse. Ask David about this subject. Ask David. He'll tell you, I've got a sword in my house that won't go away because of that. Paul, you know why Paul said he was the chief of sinners? Because he could never get out of his mind what he did to Stephen and all those other people. He'll never get over that. Never get over that. You think this woman ever forgot what she... Adultery now is unfaithfulness to a spouse. And the worst form of adultery, which Scripture speaks a great deal about, is adultery against our God. And we're all so guilty of that. It means being unfaithful to our loving, faithful spouse. Our Heavenly Father, our Lord, our husband is faithful to us in every way. And yet we're so unfaithful to Him. Like Gomer was to Hosea. Like the child in Ezekiel that was to the Lord that gave her life. We give ourselves to the world. We give ourselves to things, our minds, our hearts, our soul, our body, for pleasure. And God saved us for Himself. We lie around, play around, fool around, sleep around with the people and things of this world and forget our faithful and loving Lord. Won't get out of bed to come worship our Lord. That's bad. That's worse. All right, here's good news. Here's good news. And we're all guilty. We're this woman, aren't we? We may not have committed the actual act, but we thought it. But we've certainly committed the act of adultery against our God. Now, here's the wonderful gospel news. Look at chapter 8 of our text, verse 5. Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. What sayest thou? This they said, tempting him that they might have to accuse him. Moses in the law. That's what the law said. Is that what the law said? Yes, it did. Yes, it does. Yes, it does. And if you'll keep reading, you'll see the law says stone a rebellious son. A son that won't, and on it goes. There's so many transgressions that the law says, just stone them. Just stone them. If you had a son as rebellious, anybody have a son that's disobedient? And you say, I can't do anything with him. Well, the law said, well, bring him up here and we'll kill him. They'll stone him. That's what the law said. We're going to see in a minute why he says, why the Lord used stoning. Well, the Lord doesn't dispute this. The Lord wrote this. He didn't dispute it. That's what he said. He wrote it. The Lord didn't come to abolish the law. Didn't he say that? I didn't come to do it. He said, but I came to fulfill it. He came to keep the law for His people. And He came to deliver us from it. Okay? And from sin. He came, and we're not going to be delivered by the law. We're going to be delivered by Christ. Keeping the law. We're going to be delivered by grace, by love. And so here's what happened. Verse 6. They came and said, what sayest thou? Moses said, that she's to be stoned. What do you say? Now, who brought her? These lawyers. These Pharisees, these scribes. Who brought her? God, Christ did. God, Christ had them bring her to Him. He said, my sheep will hear my voice. He's waiting there in that temple. He's teaching His people, but there's a woman. He's waiting on a woman. There's another woman, like at the well. She's coming. Somebody's going to bring her to Him. You know, the law is a schoolmaster to do what?
Bring us to Christ.
And He uses the law. What does it do? Convicts us. Not the world. The world's not convicted. These Pharisees weren't convicted. They thought they kept it. Well, then it says in verse 6, this they said, tempting him, but Jesus stooped down with his finger and wrote on the ground as though he heard them not. How many messages have been preached on this? He stooped down. Oh my. How far down did our Lord come to save his people? John and I sing that song. We sang it again yesterday, didn't we, John? When he reached down for me, Johnny Bell got real worked up. How far did he reach down for me? He couldn't reach far enough now. His arm's not short, Kelly. Aren't you glad? Because when he reached down for me, he reached down for you. Where did he find you? The bottom of the barrel. Less than the least. That's what Paul said. Not fit to be called a disciple. I'm the worst. Chief sinners. Are you? That's what he came for. To show forth his power. Show forth his grace. Show forth his mercy. Show forth his love. He stooped down. He came down. I believe at this time, this woman was probably down at his feet. I believe she was. They set her in the middle, and I believe she knows what the law says. She's caught, and everybody knows it. She knows it. They know it. She's so ashamed. Oh, is she? Oh, my. Everybody there knows she's guilty and what the law says. And I think she probably collapsed at his feet. Don't you reckon? She collapsed at his feet. She's lying there on the ground. So what does the Lord do? That's where he goes, right down there on the ground, where she is, wallowing at his feet, crying, and he stooped down. Now, they keep talking. Oh, do Pharisees like to talk? They keep talking. Don't you hear us? The law said, did you hear us? Moses said, are you listening to us? Is as though he heard them not. He heard every word. He hears every word. And I tell you what, the Lord has a deaf ear turned to Pharisees. I'm not going to hear them. He has a deaf ear turned. His ear, will not incline his ear to scribes and Pharisees and hypocrites. He's not going to do it. But those that call upon him in truth, there's one person in this room that's not speaking. The law has condemned her, and her mouth is, she can't say anything. If she could say something, all she could say is guilty. She's not saying anything. But boy, her heart is crying out. I think she's sobbing. I think she's crying. I know she is. Because we do all the time, don't we? David said, I watered my bed with my tears. No way. Over what? Same thing. She's crying. That's who the Lord's listening to. And he got down there. He's not hard hearing, no, but he got down there and he's hearing the beat of her heart. He's hearing her cry. He's hearing her sigh. He knows what he's going to do. He came for that. Her weeping was music to his ears. Their hard heart was making him angry. Surely. And some of those fellows later on, he did. He cast them into hell. And surely he's angry with them. Because they're worse than she is. And didn't our Lord say one time, the harlots and the publicans are going to get into heaven before you do. To the Pharisees. But he hears her heart beating. He hears her cries, her stupid. He's got all our tears in his bottle. So he stooped down. He wrote on the ground. Look at verse 6. He wrote with his finger on the ground. Now, many of you, most of you know that only two other mentions of the finger of God, well, of God writing. God's finger is mentioned many times. But of God writing as in Exodus where he wrote the law on the tables and in Daniel where he wrote weighed in the balances and found wanting. So the law, thou shalt not commit adultery. God, this is the same one that wrote that law on Mount Sinai. This is the one who wrote it. This is the Christ, the author and the finisher of the law. Christ. He wrote with his finger for Moses, thou shalt not commit adultery. This is the one in Daniel, whom Daniel saw, he's going to finish the transgression. He's going to put away her sin by the sacrifice of himself. But he's the one that wrote the law, weighed in the balances and found wanting. Okay. And here he's writing on the ground. And there's been so much conjecture of people to try to guess what he wrote. And we don't know. We don't know. We can only guess. Was he writing laws that these men didn't know? You know, you're accountable for laws you don't know. To offend in one point is guilty. But people that love to be under the law, they don't know it. Paul says, you don't know the law or you wouldn't want to be under it. God killed a man one time for picking up sticks on Sunday. What? Oh, we wouldn't go to a restaurant. They serve alcohol. Lord. Man, you don't hear the law. It's severe. It requires perfection in every thought, word, deed, motive. God, look, it's got to be, it must be perfect to be accepted. That's Leviticus 22:21. Do these Amish and German Baptists, do they know that law? No, they don't read that. It shall be perfect. Offending one point, guilty of it all. Well, I didn't know that law. Oh. Doesn't matter. See, by his knowledge, he knows the law. He's going to justify his people. He knows the law. One time, I was going through a town and the speed limit was 35, and I was doing 50, I think. You know, and I thought, and they pulled me over. I never did see the speed. I never did see the sign. It was there, and he pulled me over. And 30 is just, that's not reasonable, 30 miles. Have you ever thought that? That's just too slow. It doesn't matter what you think about it. And there's a reason. They do studies, you know that? They do studies of curves and so forth and how fast you can go in that curve and what's the safe speed and are there school zones and all that. They don't just say, let's come up with a number. And God didn't make these laws just make you miserable. The reason. But, all right, he pulled me over and he said, do you know what the speed limit is? I said, no, I don't. I thought it was 45 or something like that. He said, no, it's 35. You're doing, I clocked you doing 50. I said, I didn't know. I didn't know. Well, I'm going to give you a ticket. But I didn't know. But I'm going to give you a ticket. That doesn't excuse you. And you got people everywhere who have a pick and choose law keeping, don't they? I like this law. I'll keep that. I can keep that. I can grow my beard a certain way. I can wear my hair. I like that. I can keep that. Have you read all of it? No. Well, you got to keep it all. See, the law, we're not under the law in any way, shape, form, or fashion. It's not our rule of life. Every single jot and tittle of the law would have to be our rule of life. Oh, aren't you glad? Whew. I'm so glad. Well, he could have written the law, laws that they didn't know. He could have written secrets that only they knew. Names, dates, and places that only certain people. And it says they're looking, watching him write on the ground. And look at verse 7, when they continued asking him, he lifted up himself and said unto them, he that is without sin among you, let him cast a stone at her. First cast a stone at her. And again he stooped down and wrote on the ground. And they which heard, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the oldest. Those men were watching him write on the ground. And he writes something that only they thought they knew, a secret in their life. And he wrote it down. And they quietly, from the oldest, snuck out of there. You know, the scripture says that all the secrets of men shall be exposed. Doesn't it say that? Doesn't it say that? that God will judge the secrets of man by Jesus Christ. Because of it. All the Pharisees and the scribes and all that are going to say, well, I never... Hold on. Open the books. There you are. You want to be under the law? You know what they all should have done? They left. They all snuck out of there, one by one. Begin with the oldest, the youngest. They all left. You know what they all should have done? Fell down at his feet, right there beside that woman, and asked him to forgive them, for condemning her, and asking her to forgive them for condemning her. Shouldn't they? He'll judge the secrets. Oh, listen to this psalm. Listen to this psalm. I want to quit, but look, it'll get to the glory and the majesty of his blessed mercy here. This is wonderful. Well, listen to this psalm. This goes so well. It's Psalm 102. Psalm 102, verses 19 and 20 says, "The Lord looked down from the height of his sanctuary. From heaven did the Lord behold the earth to hear the groaning of the prisoner, to loose those that are appointed to death." This one woman is groaning, she's sighing, she's mourning, she's weeping at his feet. Everybody else is talking, they're talkless. She's weeping, groaning, "Oh, I'm going to die, I'm going to die, I'm going to die. God be merciful to me, a sinner." The Lord stooped back down. Now the law says she's guilty. The witnesses have caught her, and she must die. Our Lord just can't let her go, can he? Brother Barnard said, the Lord doesn't forgive sin in the absolute sense of that. Every sin will receive a just recompense. Sin has to be paid for. God is holy. He will punish sin. Every sin will be punished. The soul that sinneth must surely die. That's what the scripture. The law says, stone her. All right, look at this. Prepare to be get Pentecostal. Luke chapter 20. Go to Luke chapter 20. We are Pentecostal, aren't we? We preach Christ crucified. We glory in him. Luke 20. Look at this. Luke 20. You have it? Luke 20, verse 17. Now the law said, stone her. Let the stone fall on her. Let all the stones fall on her and kill her. You already see it, don't you, sister? Verse 17. He beheld him and said, "Now what is this? It's written, a stone which the builders rejected. The stone, the chief cornerstone. The same is of come head of the corner. Whosoever shall fall on him shall be broken. But not condemned. Not killed. You fall on him, you'll be broken. You'll be broken hearted. You'll be sorrowful. You'll be broken, but you won't die. But if he falls on you, he's going to come down on you. He'll grind you to powder." So you know what she did? She cast all her care on him. She's a brokenhearted sinner at the feet. She has cast all her care. She's come. She's resting. She's hoping in the rock. She's hoping that God, like he did to Moses, will put her in the cleft of the rock. You say, she didn't know that. Yes, she does. Oh, yes, she does. Yes, she does. All God's people do. And you know what? As I said, he can't just forgive this and all. You know, our Lord is the one that wrote the law. He said, now he wrote guilty, 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 but he also wrote justified. He wrote the gospel. Our Lord said the law says die, but the Lord said, I'm come that they might have life. Our Lord said, justice must be served. I'm a just God. He said, but I'm a Savior. The soul that sinneth will die. But he said, but the soul that asks for mercy is going to receive mercy. Well, how? How can he do this? How can he be just? They're going to accuse him of injustice. If her sins aren't punished, how can he be just and justify her? And a little while later, he is going to go to the cross. He is going to stand before scribes and Pharisees. He's not going to open his mouth. He's innocent. No. God's made him to be sin. Isn't this wonderful? I can't tell this. Nobody's ever told this like it ought to be told. He's going to, a little while later. See, this was already done in the eyes of God for this woman. He's not forgiving her completely of her sin. He's going to pay for him. He's going to do it. He's going to go to, he's going to be that cleft of the rock to hide her in, cover her in. His blood is going to, his own precious blood is going to pay for her sin. Our Lord stood on trial. This woman's on trial here. She's guilty. But our Lord later on stood on trial and he was silent and he was found guilty by God. Found guilty. Our Lord was hung on the cross. The cross says, cursed, cursed, cursed. This woman was under the curse. Our Lord went to the cross and took that curse for her. He had this woman in mind the whole time. Father, forgive her. She didn't know what she was doing. God's going to kill him in her place. And that's what he did. Now look at this. I close. Verse 8. It says, after they all left, Jesus was left alone. And now this woman is standing. She's standing in the midst. Her and him. She's standing. She's standing. Verse 10. He lifts himself up. Raises himself up. He stooped down. What did he do? To lift her up. Our Lord came to bring us to God. Didn't he? And when God raised him up, we're seated with him in heaven. We read in Psalm 130, if God should mark iniquities, who shall stand? This woman's standing. She's standing before the judge. She's standing before God. Is she guilty? Yes. No. And it's not yea and nay preaching. See, all the promises of God in him are yea and amen to the glory of God by us. See, Christ, in Christ, she's faultless. She's unblameable. She's unreprovable in God's sight. God has already seen Christ die on the cross for her. Christ already paid for her sins. And now she's standing. Where? Or rather, he with her. I think now he has his arm around her. You reckon? I know he did. He got his arm around her. Woman, oh, never a man spake like this man. And she never, she didn't expect to hear these words. But never sweeter note on Sarah's tongue. Sweeter name had never been sung. No sweeter voice has ever been heard. He said, woman, where are thine accusers? You know, she'd been hanging her head. She'd been down on the ground. She'd been hanging her head. She's afraid to look up. She just knew the stones were going to start flying. She's afraid to look up. And now our Lord says, lift up your head. Lift up your head. Open your eyes now. Look. The first thing she saw was him. And she looked into a face of mercy. She looked into the face of her husband. She looked into the face of love personified. She looked into the face of grace. She didn't look into the face of the law. She didn't look into the face of Pharisees who wanted her dead. She looked into the face of one who loved her and gave himself for her. She looked into the face of him who had dove's eyes. Woman, where are thine accusers? She looks around. Hath no man condemned thee? They're all gone. She said, no man, Lord. Lord! What's she calling him? Lord! No man. He said unto her, neither do I condemn thee. Neither do I condemn thee. You know I'm going to quote it. There is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. No condemnation. Who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. No condemnation. Isn't that wonderful? That's just wonderful. No condemnation. No condemnation. Who is he that, who lays anything to the charge of God's elect? Nobody, because God justified. God was in Christ justifying us. But who is he that condemneth? Christ died, he said. But then he ends this with these words. Go and sin no more. Can he say anything less? No, I'm... And this brings us right back to what we were looking at this morning. Why would she? Did she learn anything from this? Would she want to go back to what gave her and everybody else so much grief and pain? What nearly killed her? What? How could she do that? Go and sin no more. Another man, he said, lest the worst come think of. Our Lord doesn't condone sin. He paid for it. He paid for it. He paid for hers. But here's the thing. In light of such mercy and grace, and this is the only thing that keep us from it. The only thing is realizing, always considering, always keeping in mind what Christ endured for it. The only thing. The law won't keep you from it. The law won't do it. Love will. Love. Love him. My Lord paid for that. How? How could it? Joseph loved his master, and he said, how could I do this to my master? Didn't it? That kept him from it. All right, let's sing in closing.